So the ancient Celtic people who lived across what we now know as Ireland and Scotland used to talk about something called thin places. Places or moments in time where the veil that separates what is earthly from what's spiritual seems to be very thin. Places where earth and heaven come together. When Scotland became Christian in 563, the idea of the thin place stuck. Because one of the realities of being in a relationship with God is that, well, there are some places and moments where you can see clearly what God is really doing, and where you can feel the wholeness and the comfort and the new life that God really intends for all of creation. All earthly agony, with its death and suffering and pain, notwithstanding. Thursday night, here in Butler, down the street at Congregation B'nai Abraham, I had the sense that I was in such a place. For there, nearly 400 people, at our best guess, had gathered to mourn those who died at Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. And we gathered also to stand in comfort and in solidarity with our Jewish neighbors. There are no words. There are only tears for the suffering that occasioned that gathering and vigil on Thursday night. And yet, to look out for, I will admit, I had one of the best seats in the house. I was up on the bima and could see everyone who was gathered. Looking out, you could see something of heaven breaking in. For there were people sitting together who, under other circumstances, do not pray together, for we all have our own houses of worship. There were people, I noted, who maybe didn't even like each other sitting in the same room together. People who certainly do not agree with one another. But here in this place, in this midst of a society in which we live that is so broken, there were no opinions or arguments. There were just people being people, with words of scripture and silence and song, punctuated by the Jewish prayers of transition and mourning that bless God's eternal goodness. After the group marched down Main Street, First English was their destination, with candles, maybe you got to see the pictures in the Butler Eagle, light in the darkness, I returned to the synagogue to collect my things, and there a number of their members told me just how much the turnout meant to them. How the tears that they had cried this last week were wiped away just a bit. How their hearts felt a little bit lighter, just knowing how much we cared. It's a holy thing, you see, to lighten burdens and to wipe away tears. When it happens, the veil that separates heaven from earth grows thin, because what God ultimately intends for us is that the shroud of death that covers us be lifted, and God ultimately intends that tears be wiped away. John, the author of the book of Revelation, saw it, this vision, in his own thin place, the island of Patmos, where he was worshiping in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, Sunday. Worshiping in the Spirit, it is said in the first chapter of Revelation, because he was actually in prison on the island of Patmos, separated from the rest of the community, the communion of saints, persecuted, no doubt with the powers of death bearing down on his shoulders. If you've ever read the book of Revelation in its entirety, you will know it's a strange book, filled with visions of beasts and horrors and earthquakes and fire and sulfur and battles, symbols that aren't easily interpreted, but whose function seems to be to represent the reality of evil and death. for we are not the first to live in an uncivil age. We are not the first to have leaders who trade in the currency of fear. We are not the first to be in the midst of chaos, wondering where it is all going. In Revelation, the threat of chaos is symbolized by the sea, restless waves that can drown and destroy. But punctuating the visions of unrest in Revelation, there are also visions of what is going on with God, of what is happening at the apex of reality. They are seated on the throne. Is not a commander of violence, but a lamb who has been slaughtered. And there surrounding him are not troops under his command, but saints who have been redeemed from every people and nation and language, singing not battle songs, but hymns of praise. This is the feast of victory for our God. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain. Blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Sound familiar? You just sang it, along with all the saints in heaven. And from there, from the throne of the slaughtered lamb, comes a new heaven and a new earth. It is being created now as we speak, a new city full of beauty and a new future where mourning and crying and pain are no more and where the sea of chaos has disappeared. And where the only water left brings life. This is John's thin place, where Revelation brings him to a vision of wholeness and peace. On All Saints Sunday, we confess that those who have gone before us, those who have died in faith and hope, whose names, some of which we will chant and read in just a few minutes, they see all of this face to face, not as a promise that breaks in from time to time. They see it and experience it all in its fullness. There's no veil that separates heaven and earth for them anymore. No more tears. They have no more need of thin places, for they surround the throne of God. But on All Saints Sunday, we also confess this, that we are one with them. And that earthly struggles with death notwithstanding, from God's point of view, there is no separation between the saints on earth and the saints above. Because the one seated on the throne is their Lord and ours, and where we meet him, we are with them. And ultimately, a thin place is not a point on a map or a moment on a clock, but a person, Jesus, in whom time and eternity meet. In whom death is overcome. And so here is what I wonder. Here is what I wonder on this All Saints Day. I wonder what it might be like for us here, in this place and at this time, where the powers of death seem so awfully real. I wonder what it might be like to imagine seeing what they see as the truth. What it might mean for us to know as they know that at the apex of reality is not an armed madman or a vengeful warrior, but a slaughtered lamb who lives and who is creating a new heaven and a new earth. Not in the future, but right now. And I wonder what it might be like for us to speak and to act as if that new reality were already here. For we believe in the communion of saints. We believe that the new already is. Amen.